then the Lord who is situated within our heart is the Paramatma. He begins to cleanse our heart of the desire to engage in fruitive activities. That's a very wonderful thing, is that we make the endeavor to hear. We hear from the Shastra. We hear from the mouths of our spiritual masters. We hear from the Vaishnavas. Topic: he cleanses the heart of tamas, or the qualities of the mode of ignorance. And when the heart becomes completely cleansed in that way, he explains that the living entity then becomes situated in goodness. He says, "Sthitam satve prasidati." He becomes situated in goodness, and then in that situation, the living entity actually becomes peaceful and satisfied and can understand instructions about the personality of Godhead. So the verses they go on to explain how bhakti yoga, simply based on the practices of hearing and the association of Vaishnavas, it severs the hard knot of material attachment which is binding the living entity to this world. So oftentimes Srila Prabhupada would quote different verses speaking about the importance of hearing in the association of the devotees. One famous verse is from Chaitanya Charitamrita, that Lord Chaitanya, he speaks to Sanatana Goswami when he's describing bhakti yoga. And that's when he says, "Sadhusanga, sadhusanga, sarva shastra koi. Lava matra sadhusanga sarva siddhi hoy." There it is stated that all shastra explains the glories of sadhusanga, or associating with pure devotees of the Lord. And it explains lava matra sadhusanga sarva siddhi hoy, that even if one will associate with a pure devotee, or even a fraction, I think lava matra means 1/11th of a second. If one will associate with the pure devotee, even for 1/11th of a second, and will hear topics about Krishna, then one's life can become perfect. He says, sarva siddhi hoy, that one can achieve all perfection in one's spiritual endeavor. Then Prabhupada would also often quote the verse on hearing from Krishna, or hearing about Krishna, from the third canto of the Bhagavatam. And that's in the discussion between Kapila Dev and his mother Devahuti. There it said, satam prasangam mamavirya sanvido bhavanti ritkarnar sayana kata yaj toshinat ashvapa bharga bartmane shraddha ratir bhakti anukramishyati. So there it said, satam prasangam. Now, just like it's saying, Prabhupada says in the end of the chapter, to hear from Krishna, or to hear in the association of the devotees, one can understand the Lord. So in that verse it's saying satam. And that sat, or satam, that means the devotees of the Lord. And then he says, he uses the word sangam also, just like we've previously said sadhusanga. But there he says prasangam. He uses this prefix, pra, which means very powerful. He says, satam prasangam mamavirya sanvido. So he says that in the association of pure devotees, the topics of my pastimes and my activities become very powerful. And by hearing in the association of pure devotees, the effect is that one's ear and one's heart will immediately become satisfied. Why? Because again, through this hearing process, hearing about Krishna, simply by hearing, the heart begins to become purified of the desire to engage in material enjoyment. Then he says, taj yoshinat ashvapa varga vartmane. That means that simply through the process of hearing in the association of the devotees, hearing topics of Krishna, and absorbing our minds in these topics of Krishna, what will happen is that very quickly we'll come on the path of liberation or pure devotional service. He says, taj yoshinat ashvapa varga vartmane. He uses this word ashu, which means very quickly, and then he says apavarga. Srila Prabhupada has always described that there's two concepts. One is called Pavarga and the other is called Apavarga. Pavarga meaning material existence or the realm of birth and death, and Apavarga meaning liberation or pure devotional service. And then he explains, he says, Shraddha Ratir Bhakti Anukramishyati. He says, Anukramishyati. He says, in order, progressively, different things will happen if we will hear about the Lord, absorb our mind in thoughts of the Lord in the association of the devotees. And the first, he says, is Shraddha will come. Shraddha, again, meaning strong, pure, and infallible faith on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And by Shraddha, our acharyas have also explained that Shraddha means following the process of sadhana bhakti yoga, having strong faith in the process of sadhana. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also explains to Sanatan Goswami in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that by following the process of sadhana, then the result of following that process will be the awakening of ecstatic devotional service. So there Kapila Dev, he says, Shraddha, and then he says Rati, which means the awakening of ecstatic devotional service, and then Bhakti, which is the awakening of pure love of God. So then another verse that Srila Prabhupada would often quote, I was just listening to a tape the other day and heard Srila Prabhupada give a very nice explanation of the verse, was Mahat Seva Dwara Mahur Vimuktes. And in that verse, Srila Prabhupada explains that by rendering service and hearing from pure devotees of Krishna, then a great service is done. And what will happen is that the gates of liberation, they say ahur vimuktes, vimukta meaning liberation, but again, the path of pure devotion and total absorption in Krishna, as Krishna is explaining here in this first verse, will come from hearing in the association of mahatmas. And mahatma meaning what? According to the definition of Krishna, which he gives in the Bhagavad Gita, a mahatma is a person who's completely absorbed in the activities of devotional service. As mahatmanas tu mam partha daivam prakritim ashraya. A person who has taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord. So Srila Prabhupada, he says, we can come to this position of maya ashakta manaha, of having our mind always absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, if we'll simply hear from Krishna, and particularly hear from Krishna in the association of his pure devotees. So in the second verse of this chapter, Lord Krishna says, Jnanam teham sabhijnanam idam baksham yasheshataha yaj yata nehabu yon yaj yata vyam avishishyate. In this verse, he explains how he's going to reveal to us, like this is his idea, and he wants to reveal to Arjuna, he wants to reveal to us how we're going to be able to attach our mind to him. So he says here, I shall now declare unto you in full this knowledge, both phenomenal and numinous. This being known, nothing further shall remain for you to know. So the basic idea that we'll see as we progress through this chapter is that Krishna is going to explain to Arjuna that everything within this world is the energy of the Lord. He's going to explain later on that he has a manifestation of material potencies. And he's going to explain that beyond that, I have another energy, and that's known as the living entity or the spiritual force. So everything that we see within this world is a combination of these two energies. And if we'll train ourselves to see everything in this world in this way, it's another very practical process by which our mind can become attached to the Lord. Again, maya shakta manah partha. Then in the third verse, he says, manusyanam sahasresyu kaschid yadati siddhaye yatatam apisadanam kaschin mam veti tattataha. Out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one knows me in truth. So, that's the next point that Krishna is making to Arjuna. He's saying, I'm going to explain everything about the material creation, about and how this everything which is manifest in this material world is a manifestation of either my gross or subtle material energies. And then he says, I'm going to explain to you about my spiritual nature also. I'm going to explain to you about my original transcendental form. He says, this is such secret and wonderful subject matter, and it's so nice that it's actually a very rare thing that people are going to be able to understand. Later in this chapter, he makes that point also to Arjuna. He says, Sa Mahatma Sadulabha. He says that such a person, such a transcendentalist, who can come to this understanding of Krishna consciousness is very, very rare indeed. That means actually having full realization of the Lord, cleansing the heart of all contamination or attachment to material qualities, and actually entering into one's transcendental relationship with the Lord. So he says that this is a very, very nice subject matter. He says it's a very wonderful subject matter, but something which is very, very rarely attained. So Srila Prabhupada, he concludes the purport, the third purport to this chapter, by quoting a verse from Rupa Goswami. And he again says, how can we come to that position? How can we actually rise above the material nature, become absorbed in thoughts of the Lord? And then he says devotional service. And the verse that he quotes is Atakshi Krishna Namadi Namabed Grayam Indriye Sevan Mukihi Jivado Svayam Eva Spuratida. That with our contaminated material senses, it's impossible for anyone to be able to realize the Lord. But when the senses become absolutely cleansed through keeping them in contact with the Lord through the activities of the devotional service, and that way we'll be able to realize the Lord as He is. Okay, so that's the three verses for today, and we'll continue tomorrow. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Are there any questions about what we covered today? Yes, Prabhu. Well, recently I was in Russia, and one devotee asked a question. He was saying, should we learn the less important verses of Bhagavad Gita as well as the important verses of Bhagavad Gita? And the actual fact is that every verse of the Bhagavad Gita is important. Krishna presents confidential subject matter throughout the entire Bhagavad Gita. But that confidentiality in the subject matter, it progresses and it develops. Like in the beginning, he tells Arjuna, you should understand that you're not the body. So that's the beginning of confidential understanding of spiritual realization. But then that will develop up to the point in the 18th chapter where Srila Prabhupada says that the most confidential understanding of the Vedic literature is manmana bhavamad bhakto majjajimam namaskuru. He says there's nothing beyond that. So the information, the middle six chapters, are very, very important subject matter. But that doesn't disclude the fact that the 14th, the 15th, the 16th, the 17th, and the 18th chapters, they contain, very, very important information as well. So that information in 14th chapter is extremely important. This information is wonderful because it reveals specifically the process of devotional service and bhakti yoga unto Krishna. And Krishna reveals himself as being the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yes, Guru. Means that he's eternally a portion, a part and parcel of the Supreme Lord Krishna. He won't change, or he won't, his original character won't change simply in relationship to the material nature, material modes of nature. Immovable? Anyone wants to give a point on that? Yes, Will. Okay. Not to see? Any other points? Okay, so everyone, please read this chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Mataji? If we don't have faith, there must be an element of faith there within the heart of the living entity. Or say people who are coming in the association of devotees or devotional service, some small element or particle of faith must be there. So it's not that the heart is devoid of faith. And then I say faith in the process of bhakti yoga. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that we can begin to develop faith through even unknowingly performing devotional service. He says sometimes we'll hear kirtan, sometimes we'll take prasadam, sometimes we'll engage in some devotional act. And by that agyata sukriti, he would say that the faith begins to develop. So there must be some particle of faith there within the hearts of those people who are coming to this process of devotional service. Krishna's seeing that, and he's giving them the opportunity to take up the path of bhakti. Okay, this class is 10:50. It's supposed to be finished. All right, so please read the 7th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, and tomorrow we'll begin with text number 4. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Namah Om Vishnu. Sampradaya Krishna Pristaya Bhutale Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prastaya Bhutale Srimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamin Iti Namine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Pasachare Zitarine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvasesha Sunyavadi Paschachari Zitarine. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nithai Gaur Hari Bola Hari Bola Hari Bola Gaur Hari Bola Nithai Gaur Hari Bola Hari Bola Hari Bola Gaur Hari Bola Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jaya Radha Gopinath Radha Gopinath Radhe Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Jagannath, Jaya Baladev, Jaya Subhadra. Jaya Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada, Prabhupada, Jaya Prabhupada. Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Jaya Prabhupada Nitai Gauri Bola Hari Bola Hari Bola Gora Hari Bola Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Srila Prabhupada Ki Gopi Premanandi. Hare Krishna. So we can begin by a brief summary of what we covered yesterday. Yesterday we said that Krishna's final statement in the sixth chapter was his lead-in to the discussion in the seventh chapter of Bhagavad Gita. So what's Krishna's final statement in the sixth chapter? Anyone? He said that of all people, the yogis are the best, and of all yogis, the Krishna Bhakta is the very best. And he gave description in the verse of how the devotees are. What are the characteristics of the devotees? Hare Krishna, next door. We're having class over here. Maybe you could hold it down. Sava? So he gives a description of the bhakti yogi. And he says that the actual yogi of the highest transcendentalist is that person. He says, I'm always in that person, and that person always keeps me within his heart. And that person is always absorbed in me. And that person always serves me with pure loving devotion. So he says a person like that is actually known to be the best type of yogi. So then, in the beginning of the seventh chapter, verse 1, Krishna, he describes first how a person will be able to come to that position of yoga. And he said primarily one should become fully absorbed at all times. He should keep his mind completely absorbed in everything about me. And he explains that if a person will do that, then he'll become a samsayam samagram, which means that he won't have any more doubts about what God is. People have so many doubts, so many different types of transcendentalists, so many doubts are there, so many misunderstandings are there. Some people are feeling that Brahman is the highest aspect of the personality of Godhead, some are feeling that Paramatma is the highest aspect. But in actuality, Krishna, as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the highest form of the Absolute Truth. So he says, if you'll hear from me directly, as he was speaking to Arjuna, or if you'll hear from my pure representative who is simply repeating my transcendental instructions, and if you'll accept those transcendental instructions, then in fact you'll be hearing from me, and by this hearing process you'll become free from doubt. So, primarily, the points were made by Srila Prabhupada what Krishna consciousness means. The point was made by Lord Krishna what Krishna consciousness means in that first verse. And he says that Krishna consciousness means the practice of yoga or the activity of purifying one's consciousness and joining with the Lord. And he says that the type of yoga that has to be performed is in full consciousness of the Supreme Personality of Godhead with mind attached to hearing, and that is achieved through that process of hearing. And then he says, simply, so much emphasis is given in this first verse on the hearing process, because simply by hearing the topics of the Lord, the heart becomes fully washed. We become free from doubts. So then, in verse number 2, Krishna says that he's going to reveal this process to Arjuna. He says, what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you everything. I'm going to reveal to you how everything material and everything spiritual is connected to me. And then in text 3, he explains that this is actually the most ideal position of spiritual understanding or spiritual realization. He says, but it's a rare thing that people will come to this position. And as we mentioned yesterday, later in the chapter, Krishna says, Samahatma Sudulava. He says that such Mahatmas that have a full realization of Krishna as being the absolute truth are very, very rare. Back in 1976, Srila Prabhupada attended a Kumbh Mela in Allahabad, and it was one of the 12-year Kumbh Melas, and it was a very big function. And Srila Prabhupada, he was talking to the devotees about Mahatmas, what is actually a Mahatma, because he said that there are so many varieties of transcendentalists. And some of them may have realization of Brahman, some of them may have realization of Paramatma. But a real Mahatma in the fullest sense is a person who's taken shelter of the internal potency of the Lord, or is fully absorbed in devotion to Krishna. There was one instance at that Kumbh Mela, just behind the camp that ISKCON had, there was, and the camp was situated in a bad place. It was sort of way off on the side of the mela. Srila Prabhupada wasn't very pleased with the organization that went on there. But just by ISKCON's camp, there was another camp of one Baba. And this Baba was very famous because he produced khichdi. And the devotees, they swear that they never saw sacks of rice, they never saw sacks of dal, they never saw spices, they never saw vegetables going into this person's camp. But he had these huge, big woks that were like really, really big. And 24 hours a day, this man was producing khichdi. So he was a type of Mahatma. And he was feeding people. He was doing prasad distribution. He was giving people khichdi. So he's known as Khichdi Baba. Actually, in 1989, there was another Maha Kumbh Mela. And that year, they requested me to organize ISKCON's camp down there in Allahabad. So, sure enough, Khichdi Baba was just on our right side again this year, you know. Khichdi Baba was still there passing out the khichdi. So, I was told that one day the Indian national television, they came down at the Kumbh Mela because they wanted to film the sadhus down there, to film the different Mahatmas. And so, they, because Prabhupada and ISKCON was like very, just, it was just beginning, say that was 1976, or the winter of 77, and Prabhupada took his devotees and to India, what year was it, 71, 72, something like that, took the first group over there. So ISKCON was taking India by storm. So Prabhupada was so popular. So the Indian national television, they came down to film Srila Prabhupada. And so the devotees told me that they put Prabhupada on a nice seat and put nice garlands, and then they made so many different, you know, sound checks and put microphones, and they made everything correct. And then they told Prabhupada, they said, now begin to speak. And when they said that, Prabhupada turned to Lokanath Maharaj, and he said, you speak. So then Lokanath Maharaj, he started speaking about Kumbh Mela. And then Prabhupada, at one point, he interjected when the cameras came back on him. And Prabhupada said, Kumbh Mela is a festival for associating with Mahatmas. He said, but you must be very sure to understand what is a genuine Mahatma. He said, we don't accept atheists who are saying that there is no God or that God is dead as being a Mahatma, although so many people in this mela are running around with long robes on and beards, and they're preaching a philosophy that God doesn't exist or that the highest aspect of God is Brahman. He said, we don't accept them as Mahatmas. And then Prabhupada went like this. He said, and just behind our camp, there was another Mahatma, Khichdi Baba. So he gave Khichdi Baba some credit on national television. He said, but what is real Mahatma and how to come to that position? He said, real Mahatma is a person who's constantly absorbed in the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just like that last verse. What does it say? It says, bhajate yo mam, that word bhajate, completely absorbed in worship and remembrance of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Meaning everything that he sees within this material creation, he sees Krishna. He understands that Krishna is the source of it all. So Prabhupada said, this is real Mahatma. So Lord Krishna, in the third verse of this chapter, he says, excuse me. He says, out of many thousands among men, one may endeavor for perfection, and of those who have achieved perfection, hardly one will know me in truth. So it's a very rare thing that one will come to this position of Krishna consciousness. But if one will hear from Krishna or hear from Krishna's representative and follow their instructions, then one has a chance of coming to that exalted position. So now that brings us up to text 4. And in text 4, Krishna is beginning to do what he told Arjuna that he was going to do. He told Arjuna, he said, I'm going to teach you how you can see me in everything. So this is the first example that he's given. He's saying, earth, water, fire, air, ether, mind, intelligence, and false ego, all these 8 constitute my separated material energies. So, the Lord, he's saying that these different substances are my energies. He's saying that they're gross substances, and there's subtle substances of matter. The first gross substances of matter, he says, earth, water, fire, air, and ether. That's known as the Pancha Mahabhuta. And then the subtle material elements are the mind, intelligence, and false ego. So the point is that if we will remember this fact as we're walking through the fields of Radhadesh, or when you go back and you're in Rome, or if you're in Moscow, or whatever you're doing, if you can remember the fact that this chateau here, these stones, this is Krishna's energy, then your mind can always remain absorbed in Krishna. You can become that Maya Ashakta Manaha that he explained in the first verse of the chapter. So Srila Prabhupada, he makes some different points in his purport, and we'll go through those purports. And the first point that he makes is that the material nature is called Prakriti, and that the Supreme Lord is known as the Purusha. So he says that Krishna is Purusha, and all manifestations of different types of energy that we see within the world are a manifestation of his potencies. And Prabhupada, he quotes the verse from some Purana here, or Satputta Tantra, and it explains how who are the Purushas of, say, this world? Or how does this world come into being? How does this world become manifest? And so he mentions the Mahavishnu, he mentions the Garbhadakshai Vishnu, he mentions the Shirodakshai Vishnu. And he says, they are the Purushas, and then all of the different energies that we see manifest here are coming from them. So he says that all the activities in the world are under the direction of the Purushas.